And might be odd for you tonight. I hope we pass the test. If not, you can fire me right after the service, all right? And so otherwise, we'll just get into the Bible where I'm a little more familiar and comfortable. So Daniel chapter number 2, if you would. And I want to give you, as often is the case with me anyway, just give you a challenging thought from the book of Daniel, and I hope you'll follow along as we kind of near the end and develop a thought for you. And not really going to look at the prophecies, although we will see several prophecies just as we glance through the book of Daniel. If you're familiar, of course, Daniel looked into future events. He saw visions and had dreams, and God would reveal those to him. Some of those things are yet to be fully fulfilled, and we know that that day is coming soon. But I want us to focus in, as I said a moment ago, on a thought here, if you would. Notice here in verse number 1, Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. And you, if you're familiar with the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. Of course, Babylonian captivity of the children of Israel has just occurred. Daniel is one of those captives. He's a prince, if you would, in the sense that he's a representation of the children of Israel, him and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those four men, as were named here in the book of Daniel, are a representation of the children of Israel in captivity. And there's other nations that are represented as well. But Nebuchadnezzar has this dream one night, and he's troubled by it, as we read in our Bible. He's troubled by it, and so he brings in his soothsayers and these magicians and these wise men, if you would, and he begins to inquire of them to find out what his dream is about. You ever had one of those dreams where you just wake up in the morning and you go, wow, that was such an incredible dream. I wonder what that was about. You know, you ever done that? And that's all my dreams, by the way. They're all weird. And, sometimes people will explain their dreams and I'm thinking like, I can never explain my dream. I start to, and then I'm like, wait a minute, what did that have to do? Anyways, it's just weird. It's your mind. But anyways, so Nebuchadnezzar wakes up. He's troubled by this dream, and he begins to bring in these men. And as he does, they say, well, tell us what your dream was about and we'll give you the interpretation of it. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar says, I don't remember what it was about. That's what I want you here for. I want you to explain to me what my dream was about and then tell me what it was about. Boy, talk about a difficult task. This is not just an interpretation of dreams. And so anyways, he gets word of Daniel. And notice here, if you would, in verse number 19, Daniel is brought in, and the Bible says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. I want you to notice here on verse 22, the Bible says, he, talking about God, revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. What we just read is Daniel praising God for the fact that Daniel now has an understanding of not only the understanding of the dream, but he knows what the dream is because God has now revealed that to Daniel. Daniel has been praying and asking God, and God has revealed something miraculous. I mean, it's a miracle that, and so Daniel is now praising God for that. He says, God knows everything. By the way, God knows everything. Now, you may not remember your dream. Nebuchadnezzar may not remember his dream, but God knows the dreams. God knows the desires of our heart. God knows the number of the hairs on our head. And so anyways, I want us to just focus in on that thought that God is revealing things to Daniel. Would you jump forward in your Bible to Daniel chapter 7? Daniel chapter number 7. Some time has passed, and so now in the first year of Belshazzar and a new king, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. Now it's Daniel's turn to start having some dreams. And the dreams that Daniel is going to have is dreams of visions of revelations that God is going to give to Daniel to eventually, for our benefit, for the children of Israel more so, but for our benefit as well, to write down these dreams and revelations so that we could have an understanding, a little bit of an understanding of the prophecies that God is going to prophesy using Daniel. We get all this? And so God is going to begin to reveal some things to Daniel. And so Daniel has this dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream. But then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. By the way, when I start to read what Daniel's dreaming, I'm thinking, yeah, that's the kind of dreams I have. Only I know it's not of God. I know it's just my mind messing around. And so anyways, he starts writing this down. But as would be the case, he would write it down and see the dreams very vividly, but then think, but I have no understanding of what this is about. And so it would begin to bother him and begin to trouble him. And so notice here in verse number 13, the Bible says, I saw, Daniel says, in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who is that class? That's the Lord Jesus. It's a Christophany. It's Jesus before the incarnation. It's the incarnate Jesus. And so he says, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. Now, this is a new revelation. You understand that because up to this point, the children of Israel, they thought, well, he's our God and only our God. He'll be our Messiah and only our Messiah. So Daniel is seeing a revelation about the Lord Jesus Christ being given praise by all nations and all kingdoms. And so this is new, if you would. It's a prophecy given. And so notice there in verse number 15, so I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and watch this, and the visions of my head troubled me. They troubled me. It was bothersome, Daniel says, and I couldn't figure this out. What is all this? See, we read our Bible, and we know that Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that he is Lord, right? We know that day, but this is new to Daniel, and he's trying to figure out what is going on here. And so verse number 16, he says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Boy, Daniel's going to begin a journey. We saw it in chapter number 2 when Nebuchadnezzar began to pray. Began to ask for an interpretation of his dreams. And Daniel began to pray and ask God for an understanding of those visions and those dreams. And God would reveal that to him. And Daniel knows that God is the source of all knowledge and all wisdom. And if Daniel's ever going to find out the answers to the questions that he has, it needs to come by way of God. And you and I, as New Testament, you say, what's this got to do with me? Well, you and I, as New Testament believers, you understand that God doesn't give to us dreams like he was given to Daniel. This is God-given revelations of prophecy and the fulfillment. We have those things now written for us, but Daniel didn't have that. And so God is revealing those things by way of dreams. And so Daniel's trying to understand these things are troubling him. We'll see a couple more here in just a second. And so we know as New Testament believers that those things, we're not necessarily have dreams, but there are things that trouble us. Are there not? Are there not things in your life and in your journey that you start to go, you know what, I wish I had answers to this. I wish I knew what God was trying to do. You ever been there? I wish I could understand what God is trying to do in this circumstance or situation. I wish I had wisdom, if you would. And then we read in our Bible, for example, in Matthew chapter number 7, the Bible says, ask and it shall be, seek and ye shall knock and it shall be open unto you. And so we read that, we think, well, okay, I'm knocking, I'm asking, but I'm not receiving, or whatever it might be. And or other times where God answers those things. Now, maybe you as well, when you're going into diverse temptations, James chapter number 1 says, and we see those things, we understand, we may not know what's going on, but God knows what's going on, and there's a reason for everything. But he goes on in James chapter number 1, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to have understanding. So have you ever found yourself in a circumstance where you go, boy, I wish I understood what was going on. I wish I knew what was around the corner. I wish I knew what God wanted for me. Or maybe as a parent of older children, when they're seeking your wisdom and they're asking you for some wisdom, and you go, boy, I need an answer from God so I can give them some good counsel or whatever it might be. And we start to beg God. And oftentimes God will answer that. And we see that with Daniel. Daniel begins to ask God and inquire of God, will you show me the answer to this? And sure enough, God comes along and sends an angel, if you would, and answers those requests. And so look over in chapter number 8. Once again, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So that he had that first vision in chapter number 7, and he couldn't understand it. And it was about the Messiah. It was about the Son of Man coming and the world glorifying him and all that. And so he asked, and he received an answer. And so once again, 2 years later, he's asking again, God, I have this new vision. There's a new thing in there. And he begins to beg of God for an answer. And so notice here, we'll just real quickly jump to verse 15. It says, and it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eliah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Well, we know who Gabriel is, right? He's one of those, the three hierarchy of angels. You had the three, a trinity of angels. They're the only three angels in all the Bible that are named. You've got Michael the archangel, a guardian or custodian of the cherubs and all the protection of the glory of God. You've got Gabriel, the messenger angel, and then you had one other one. Anybody know his name? Lucifer, right? He was the anointed cherub, and he was cast out of heaven, and by the way, took a third of the angels with him. But Gabriel, he's the messenger angel. He'll be the one that's the same angel that God sends to Mary to let her know thou art highly favored and I bless thee, right? And to Joseph and says, take her to be your wife. She's not done anything wrong and so forth. And so we see Gabriel. So Daniel's seeking for a meaning, and God has sent Gabriel to give him understanding. Notice here in verse 17, so he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. So Daniel's going, what's this vision about? And Gabriel comes, well, he hears what would seem to be God telling Gabriel, give this man understanding. He's seeking an answer. And so Gabriel says that what you're seeing, the vision that you're seeing, is an understanding of the sign of the end times. And Daniel would get many of those visions throughout the book of Daniel. And so notice here in verse number 18, now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. You know, God wants you to have wisdom, just like Daniel. I mean, Daniel's wisdom, it was for different things, but God wants you to understand things. God doesn't want us to obliviously go through life and wonder, what is God up to? What does God expect from me? What's God's desire from me? Maybe there's somebody in the room and you're saying, boy, I wish I knew what God's will for my life is. Don't you think God wants you to know what his will is for your life? Of course he does. And so that's why he invites us to come to him if we lack wisdom, right? He'll give it to us and he'll give us understanding. He wants us to know that. He's given us the complete revelation of the Word of God. Jesus would say it this way, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they, that's the scriptures, are they which testify of me. Everything God wants you to know about him is written in the book. So God wants us to know stuff. Obviously, there's some limitations what we can understand about God because he is so much bigger than us. Amen. And everywhere at once, there's things that we can't fathom or can't quite understand. But God wants us to know things. Well, he wants us to know that. If maybe a young person in here, not quite marriage age, or maybe close to that age, and you're thinking, boy, I wish I knew the right person for me. And don't you think God eventually wants you to know who's the right person? All these type of things. We have questions like that. And so the same would be true for Daniel. God would give him an understanding, and he would give him a vision, give him a desire, and then Daniel would beg for an understanding, and God would send a messenger. In this case, Gabriel came every time. Chapter number 9, in the first year of Darius, the son of... Now we've gone through three kings so far. I don't know if you caught on there. Three kings. This is a continual thing in Daniel's life. And so now we're in the first year of Darius. And once again, Daniel has a revelation in verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, what he's talking about there is he's in Babylonian captivity. He is in that captivity. Well, in Jeremiah chapter number 29, God had told Jeremiah right before they went into that captivity, that they would be in captivity for 70 years. So Daniel understands that. That's what he's saying. I have an understanding of this. I've been reading my Bible, is what he's saying. I've been reading the other prophets, and in this case, Jeremiah, and I have an understanding. Don't you? That's, by the way, that's how usually God gives us direction, through the Word of God, right? Now, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible will say in Psalm chapter number 1, right? He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water when we learn to meditate upon the Word of God and so forth. He's like a tree. Why? Because the Word of God gives us wisdom. It gives us understanding and all those things. And so Daniel says, I understood those things. And then he says in verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandment. And so he goes on, he confesses sins, confesses his own sins, his sins of the people, all those things. Notice in verse number 20. And he says, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And notice here, verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Look, I'm not suggesting to you tonight that when you begin to ask God for wisdom or direction or what God wants you to do next in your life, that God's going to send Gabriel, although he could. But you understand, Gabriel can only be one place at one time. By the way, so can Lucifer. He can only be one place at one time as well. But he can only be one place at one time, but God does want to send his message to you. He does want you to have skill and understanding. You're reading your Bible, for example, and you begin to see a passage of scripture and you go, boy, I wish I could understand this. Don't you think God wants you to know it? He wants you to have understanding. And that might take a deeper study of the Word of God for God to begin to reveal that. That might take approaching somebody like your pastor and asking for some wisdom in direction in that study or whatever it might be. But God wants you to know. He doesn't want us to be oblivious through life. I wonder what God wants me to do in my life. Oh, well, I'll just do whatever. No, God wants you to know. And he sends his message and messengers to bring that and make it available. Chapter number 10, if you would. We're seeing the neighborhood, if you would. Coming home here shortly. Notice in chapter number 10. I don't want to lose you. Stay with me. Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true. Watch this. But the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. So in this case, Daniel has a vision. And it's a vision, by the way, of the end times, of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And you're familiar with that, the 70 weeks upon the nation of Israel and all that. The 70th week being the tribulation period, the weeks are years and all that. And not trying to get into all the prophecy part of that, but Daniel sees that vision. And he has some understanding of it. He understands that the 70 weeks are upon the people of Israel. He'll even say that. And in chapter number 9, he was determined upon Israel and so forth. He sees all that, but the time is long. He doesn't quite understand that. He knows about the 70-year captivity, and he sees the 70 weeks of the end times, but there's some things that are without understanding, if you would. You getting this? Like, for example, I think about even later on in the New Testament, Paul would put it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. And I know we all recognize that just as the love chapter, but Paul goes on and he says, but now we see through a glass darkly. There are some things that just, we can only try to fathom and understand. Like the Bible tells us what heaven's going to look like, but the reality is we don't know what heaven's going to look like. I mean, we can't fathom the details. I mean, to understand that the streets are paved with gold, that gold like as unto crystal, it's transparent. It is so pure. You've never seen gold like that. Your gold shines yellow. Why? Because of impurities. But the streets are paved with gold. Think about that for a minute. What do we pave streets with? Somebody? Asphalt, pavement. You know why? Does anybody know why? It's cheap. It's cheap, it's durable, and so we throw that down. In heaven, God paves the streets with gold. You know why? It's cheap and durable. I don't know. But he doesn't use just any gold. He uses the best of it. I mean, think about that. We've got 12 gates in heaven, right? The 12 gates of the city. And each one is made of a pearl. I think we talk about the pearly gates and we think of pearls around the gates. No. Each gate is made of a pearl. Have you ever seen an oyster or whatever makes pearls that big? I mean, the gates. I've been to Jerusalem. I've seen the gates. I've seen how big they are. And for one pearl to be that size, I mean, that's a big pearl. Is it oysters that make pearls? All right, that's a big oyster, man. That's the kind God uses to make. I mean, we've never seen anything like that. We can't understand. No wonder Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, he says, I have not seen, and he's quoting, by the way, the Old Testament. He says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, right? And, of course, the Old Testament says, for them that have that wait upon him. And so you can't fathom the things, but we have a little bit of understanding. It's just seen through darkly, and that's kind of where Daniel's at right now. Daniel's seeing some of this. He's having some understanding, but it's troubling. And so he says here in verse number 2, he says, I was mourning 3 full weeks. He started praying. And notice here in verse number 10, it says, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man of greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. And stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. The answer has been sent, is what Gabriel's saying to him. Yeah, I'm here just for you. By the way, God will send the answer just for you. And so he says, you're the only reason I'm here. He says in verse number 11, the end there, he says, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 120 days. Gabriel comes. Daniel for 3 weeks, 21 days, has been praying to God for the answer. And he probably just, come on, human nature. I know sometimes we read our Bible and we think, boy, these people are like robots, you know, they love God. They never have problems in their life. Everything's hunky dory for them. But don't you think Daniel, he's begging for God. He says he's mourning 3 weeks, begging God for an answer, for some type of level of understanding, and no answer's coming. And then finally, day number 21, he feels a hand on his shoulder, and he says, I came to give you the answer. And he says, I stood trembling. And then Gabriel says to him, understand this, Daniel, from the first day, 21 days ago, I've been on my way here. The answer was heard right away. Your prayer requests tonight were heard right away. Sometimes they're delayed, though. And in this case, he says the prince of the king of Persia, that's Satan, came and began to fight against me. And he goes on, he says, I had to battle with him until Michael, the archangel, could come and take over the battle so I could bring the message. Hey, sometimes you there might be something you've been praying for a long time. Anybody like that? You say, boy, I've been praying for so-and-so to be saved for years. And it feels like it doesn't God. Hey, listen, if you're praying for somebody to be saved, who wants them saved more, you or God? God does. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And obviously, most of the time, the case is that the delay is because of that person not coming to the place where they receive Christ. Or maybe it's because the message hasn't got to them yet, the message of the gospel. Whatever it might be, there might be something, but you just keep on praying. No wonder Jesus would say when he was asked by his disciples, teach us to pray, he gave the model prayer, if you would, and our Father which art in heaven. But he goes on, he says, he gives that illustration about the man in the middle of the night, you know? You know what I'm talking about? And he's got a neighbor that comes, and I mean, he's got a friend from a far country that comes, and it's in the middle of the night, and he has nothing to serve him. And so he goes over to the neighbor's house and starts knocking on the door in the middle of the night. The neighbor says, what are you doing? Wake me up in the middle of the night and leave. Go to bed. And he just keeps knocking. And finally that man says, fine, just take some bread. Get out of here, right? Gives him. And Jesus goes on. He says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to you? Right? The prayer of importunity. Sometimes we just need to keep praying and asking God for direction. And there might be something you've been praying for. God, would you please give me direction? Would you please give me wisdom? And it might just be a delay. And by the way, sometimes the delay is because of us. God might be sitting there going, well, I'm just waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to take care of this and whatever it might be. But in this case, Daniel, the answer had been on its way. And so anyways, I want us to jump to chapter number 12, if you would. So we see this first of all, and let's kind of summarize this. We're getting home now, and we see this. God does it for Daniel. God will do it for you. The same God, the same Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. Right? I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God said. And so the same God that is giving Daniel an answer whenever Daniel sought wisdom wants to give you wisdom and understanding. For that thing that you've been begging God to understand or have wisdom in. And it may be something that's new to you right now. And you're just entering into a journey where you're going, I need some understanding in this. I need to know, God, what you want me to do, what you want our family to do. I need to know, as a church, you might be going, we need to know what the church is supposed to do next or what it is. And it might be that you're seeking God and the answer might come right away. Or it might be delayed. And the delays can be many different things. Oftentimes, the best way to find out about the delays is just to seek inward first. Is there something in here that's not right? Amen? And then seek outward. Is there something out there that's not right? Maybe if it's an answer that we're trying to seek for everybody. And then once this is good and once that's good, then we start going back upward. All right, Lord, I'll wait until you send the answer, but I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to keep begging God for the answer and the solution and whatever it is. And then we wait upon the Lord, right? He renews our strength. And so anyways, we pray and we see those things in Daniel's testimony. Now let's get to chapter 12. Watch this. And at that time shall Michael stand up. All right. Let me back up. I should have said this real quick. When Daniel was praying for that answer in chapter number 10, God sent Gabriel and it took 3 weeks to get there. This is now from chapter number 10 all the way till now, chapter number 12, Gabriel is explaining the answer from chapter number 10. We got this? This is not a new vision that Daniel's seeing. Daniel has been getting an explanation and an understanding from Gabriel what all this entails. But remember, he said this, I had understanding, but the time seemed long. And so the finale of that is Gabriel's telling him the time shall come, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, so forth. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt and all these things. Verse number 3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. He's giving them the end of the end times is what he's doing. The finale of things. But watch this. Verse number 4. And everything we just went through, folks, to show you over again and again, Daniel would have a vision, God would give him full understanding, give him full revelation. And God wants to do that with us. But watch this in verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and sealed the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, and one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Daniel is looking, I think, if you would, from a third-person perspective. And he's now asking the question. He goes, all right, I got an understanding of these things. I can see all this, but how long is this going to be? Because he should know. 70 weeks, right? Well, yeah, but there's some gaps there. By the way, we're part of the gap there. The church age is part of that gap between the 69th week and the 70th week. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, if you didn't. So Daniel's not seeing. And so he says, how long is this going to be? And he's trying to find out the details. And like as at every other time, Daniel would ask God and God would give him wisdom. And so he asked, how long? Verse number seven, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the rivers of the water, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And watch this, verse number eight, for the first time in all the book of Daniel, Daniel says, and I heard, but I understood not. And sometimes God will send maybe an answer, and you're like, well, that's not an answer. Well, okay, let's back up. Parents, you've done that to your kids. And every one of us had that done by our parents, right? You ask for, here we go. When are we going to get there, right? You've been driving all day. You're headed to the theme park or whatever it is. When are we going to get there? What's the answer? When are we going to get there? We'll get there when we get there. And the kid's going, are you kidding me? That's not an answer. And Daniel says, I heard, but I still don't understand. And sometimes God does that to us. It's like, well, here's the answer. And you're going, well, that doesn't help me at all. Maybe let's go back to the gold, the streets of gold. And you go, boy, I want to see what that looks like. And God says, here's what it looks like. And you go, well, no, I want to see it. And or maybe Moses had asked, Lord, show me thy glory. And God's response to Moses was, I'll show you my glory, but you can't see my face. You can't see my face and live. And so he says, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you as I pass by. I'll cover my hand over your eyes so you can't see me. And once I pass by, then you can see me. You can see the hinder parts, the back parts. By the way, a great picture of faith. God always expects us right because it's impossible to please him without faith. And so we only get to see the aftermath of God passing. Is that not true? All right, and so sometimes we don't get the answer. And so Daniel says, I heard, but I understood not. Verse 8, then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Would you go in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, this last place I'll have you turn. We're done in 3 minutes. Deuteronomy chapter 29. All throughout the book of Daniel, Daniel's a great picture of somebody who implores God to give him answers and understanding, and God just continuously sends Gabriel. I mean, he sends the only Gabriel to give him the message. And when we think about that, God wants us to understand. Sometimes that understanding is hindered. Sometimes the answer to our prayer is if you would, delayed, but usually he wants us to understand things. But then all throughout the book, Daniel asking, God gives him understanding. Then we get to this last thing, and God says today, and we know this is still prophetic. The things that Daniel is prophesying of or seeing these visions of still aren't fully fulfilled. We understand that? They're still not in the rapture's in there, and the tribulation period, and Daniel's going, I want to understand this. And you say, by the way, that's why when anybody comes across and says, you know, it'll be this date, Gabriel didn't even give Daniel the date. I don't think he gave some knucklehead, you know, on the TV the date. You know what I'm saying? And so don't buy in. And so Daniel's going, when's this going to happen? I want to know the date. What's the time of date? And God says, no, the book is sealed up. There are some times when God just says, if you would, you don't get to know. Watch this in verse number 29, chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, verse 29. The Bible says, the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. Well, in Daniel chapter number 2, remember, Daniel praised God for revealing the secret things. But you know, God still says there are some things you just don't get to know about. There are some things that aren't in your realm of jurisdiction to even understand. They're not for you to have knowledge of. They are secret things to God. Like for example, what does God look like? But God says you don't get to know that until you see me face to face, and you won't see him face to face until we get in glory. You say, because sometimes we have a picture of God as, you know, a man with a big white beard and a, you know, lightning bolt as a scepter or whatever. And the Bible says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus was a man, but he took upon him the form of a servant. He took upon him a form of his creation. Did we understand that? And so anyways, God says, look, there are some things that just belong to me. You don't get to know. But watch what he says. Verse 29, he says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Amen. You know, there are some things that God says, brother, you don't get to know. You don't get to know this. Sister, you don't get to know this. But if it is revealed, you're accountable for it. The things that are revealed, God says, I expect you to know, and I expect you to do what's revealed to you. Whether that be, obviously, through the revelation of Scripture, I'm holding that up, that would be paramount. But even the things that God shows me for my personal life, what's God's will for my personal life. And God reveals that, and he says, those are the things that you're accountable for. Amen? But some things, here's the point tonight. Sometimes we have to go, it's okay that I don't know every answer. Like, you know, if you've ever seen a loved one who lost a baby. Like my wife's sister several years ago had a baby, and that baby was born and lived for less than a month and went home to be with the Lord. And you can ask all you want, why would God ever do that? And it might just be that Christina, my wife's sister, will never get the answer to that until she gets into heaven. Because some things just belong unto the Lord. We might look at that, and if we're not careful, we think we deserve an answer for everything. And God says, there's just some things you don't get to know about that. But what I have revealed to you is your responsibility. Father, we thank you for this evening.